In case you're thinking we are time warping to Advent, we're not. We're not time warping to the Christmas season, not yet. But we will be reading from verse 26 to 38 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. We are still working on the Apostles' Creed, and we are about to say the Apostles' Creed again. We'll say it together, and it's going to come up as separate phrases once again to help us not just run right through the Apostles' Creed, but to help us stop and to consider what we're reading, what we are saying when we say the Apostles' Creed. So we'll say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we are continuing our look at the Apostles' Creed, and just a quick recap of what we've looked at so far. When we say, "I believe," when we say, "I believe" in the Apostles' Creed, we are making a truth claim. We are saying that the things that we are going to say from here on in this creed are truth. Truth based on this, on Scripture. And it's not your truth, or as opposed to my truth. Like, truth is relative. It's not that it's your truth and that's good for you and I got something different that I'm thinking about that applies to me. It's nothing like that. It's absolute truth. Meaning that as sure as 2 + 2 = 4 and as the sky is blue and as the grass is green, as true as that is, this is truth. The Apostles' Creed. And so when we say, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, we are saying, I believe that there's a God. And I believe that he's almighty, and so almighty that he can create the heavens and the earth. But that he's also Father, speaking of who he is, and that he interacts with his creation. And that he's ever present with his creation, being a perfect Father. And then we look at his Son. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, that we believe that God has a Son. And that his Son is the Anointed One, the Christ, the Christos in Greek. And that he is the one who was anointed, the one who is called. And that he is God's only Son, the only begotten Son, the only one that God called to be his own. And then for the next little while, including today, we're going to be looking at the separate statements that point to Jesus being that Son of God. And what happened with Jesus, not only as Jesus, who Jesus was, but what he did. And what points to him being the Son of God. And today we're looking at conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So we are saying today in the Apostles' Creed, if you said the Apostles' Creed, believing the Apostles' Creed at all, if you said that, you're saying that you believe that the truth is that Jesus was conceived by a spirit and that Jesus was born to a virgin. Do you know how crazy that sounds? Do you hear what you're saying? It's foolishness to the world that's around us. It's absolutely crazy. Because a spirit cannot, if you believe in spirits, according to the world, a spirit is essence. It's not substance, like we are substance. We have matter. We are matter. A spirit is not matter. A spirit is essence. And a spirit cannot come together with matter and make matter. That's impossible from our world standpoint. And also, birth from a virgin can happen. Maybe with today's sciences, yes, technically we can make that happen with in vitro fertilization and whatnot. But if you're to look at things the old-fashioned way, no, it just doesn't work that way. And the thing is that Mary knew this stuff. I love that about Mary. Because the angel comes to her and the angel says, you're highly favored, Mary. You're going to have a son. Go figure. You're going to have a son. And you're going to call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he'll be called the Most High God, and he's going to be awesome. And the whole time, Mary is going, I don't get it. How's this going to work? Because I'm a virgin. You see, Mary knew the nuts and bolts of all of this. She knew how it worked to have a child. And we ask the same question. How does that work? Now, I've addressed this here before, that we often ask maybe not quite the right questions. Instead of the how, we need to ask why. Why would God do this? Why would God say, go up to a backwoods town to a girl just a plain, ordinary person, to a nobody in a nowhere town in the sea, out near the sea where the sea people live, where they don't really know what's going on either. Why would God do this wonderful thing? angel answers it in today's text. If you have your Bibles open, take a look at this, or otherwise just listen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he gives this corroborating evidence. If you don't think that's good enough, even Elizabeth is pregnant. Your older cousin, your much, much older cousin, Mary, you know, the one who is said to be barren. Yeah, that one, she's already in her sixth month. Her third trimester is beginning. And then it says these words, "For no word from God will ever fail." In other words, nothing is impossible with God. Why would God do this? So that this child that will be born is called the Son of God. The Son of God. You see, it comes back to God. When we ask, why would Mary do this? Why would the angel go to Mary? Why would this all happen to Mary? So that no human can claim any kind of credit for this. And God's really in the habit of doing this type of thing, to prove that it's all about God. And for evidence of that, we can go back to Egypt. 10 plagues come to mind. But 10 plagues that happened where Pharaoh's guys tried to make it better too. They tried to say, hey, we can do the same thing. But then they gave up because they couldn't do it anymore. And the 10 plagues back then proved that it came from Almighty God. And never mind the pillar of light by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Oh, and that whole thing about the sea opening up and allowing the people to walk through on dry land. You think that was from God? Same thing here. So that it can be only from God. We get caught up in the details. How did that happen? How did this work? What does that look like? What does it look like that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary? And I've seen some depictions of this. And I'm not in favor of them. And I don't know how it looked. But it doesn't matter. What matters is the why. So that this child that will be born will be the Son of God. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. Why? So that this child will be the Son of God. For nothing, no word from God can ever fail. Other translations say, for with God nothing is impossible. And so that brings me to some other texts. For with God nothing is impossible. Jesus talks about that himself when he talks about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is. But nothing's impossible with God. You see, God made Mary's willingness. God knew about Mary's willingness. Willingness to give herself over to whatever God had in mind. And God planted a fertile seed in that field of Mary's willingness to answer his call. And from that willingness to answer God's call, God provided the most wonderful gift for humanity, God himself becoming a human being. Now, if God is willing to work in a backwoods town called Nazareth and go to this girl who's just a nobody, really, and do this wonderful thing that's not only going to change her life, but it's going to change the course of his salvation plan and humanity for all ages. Why do we not want to be as willing as Mary is? You know, in a couple of weeks, as Pete mentioned earlier, council's going to be coming, we're going to gather together for what we call a retreat. I don't like that word for this particular event because I don't think it's a retreat. I think it's a meeting. And it is a meeting, but it's a meeting that we're going to spend a focused time looking at the direction of this church and what this is all about, what this church is all about. And part of that, no doubt, will be the willingness of this church, not only the individuals, but as a whole, to come together and be the instrument through God into the community that God will work through. And how are we being that instrument so that we can say to God that it's all about you, Lord? How are we being that instrument that we can say with certainty that this is all for God, all about God, and all to God? And we'll be looking at that. So please, pray for us as we do this, as we have this, as we prepare for it, and all that. Pray for us as we look into this, because this is the beginning of the discussion. You see, if we are as willing as Mary is willing, then we can say along with Mary, if we are as willing as Mary is willing, then we can say along with her that through all things, God is impossible. All impossible things can really happen through a God. So, a child can be conceived from essence, from a spirit, and a child can be born through a virgin. That kind of impossibility to our world, we can actually do right here in Lucknow. Right here within our own church establishment, right here. That type of willingness, that type of openness, that type of receptiveness that we have for our God can rock this world. We don't need 900 people, 2,600 people in our congregation. We don't need to have the best rock and music up here. We don't need to have the best talking preacher who trips over his words all the time, namely me. We need to have the willingness to accept what God's calling us to do. And when we say, yes, Lord, we have that willingness, we are going to step up for you no matter what it is. Like Mary, do you think Mary spent a long time thinking about this, going, well, you know, God, I really got to check my calendar? No, he said, let it be, she said, let it be as you have said in that very moment. In other words, sure, whatever you want, no problem. The same way you would say, sure, no problem to that person, that friend, that relative, or whatever, who's done you all sorts of favors, and you're just willing to step up and, yeah, whatever you need, buddy, no problem, I'll be there for you. That type of willingness. Think of the favors that God has done for us. And we need that type of willingness too, to step up and to make a difference in the world. Think of it, what we could do. But not by our own power. All for God, all the time, always. When we say in the Apostles' Creed that we are conceived, that not we, but that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin, of the Virgin Mary. We are saying that the impossible happened by God's will. And we're seeing that throughout the Apostles' Creed, by the way. The impossible happened by God's will. Why can't we make the impossible happen by God's will through us as well? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, may we, along with Mary, say, may it be as you have said. May it be your will. May your will be done. May we, along with Mary, see the uncertainty of agreeing with what you are asking, and yet step up to the plate, and yet say, yes, God, you have it. This is all about you. May we unreservedly give ourselves over to you, God, so that you would be honored and glorified and lifted up in our lives individually, at home, but in our lives here as a church body too. Be with us, God, we pray. In our answer, amen.